Welcome to the Club Solutions Magazine podcast, Supplier Voice Edition. I'm Taylor Brown, the editor of Club Solutions. And today my guest is Andy Pete. He is the CEO of Fitness On Demand. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is one of my favorite conversations I've had. Andy really just dives into his state of the industry, how he got here, what his perspective is on the industry, where he thinks we can grow. Obviously, we talk about Fitness On Demand and what's in the pipeline for them and what's coming, but this is just a really authentic conversation, and I hope you enjoy. Andy, thank you so much for joining me today on the CS podcast.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're joining me today as the CEO of Fitness On Demand, but I know you have other history in the fitness industry. So I'd love to kick things off for you to just kind of talk about your journey, your experiences, and what led you to your position today.
Yeah, no worries. Well, great to be here. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's been a massive journey. So from New Zealand originally, was put into the fitness industry more so as it was a better option than milking cows on a dairy farm when I was 17 years old. Always enjoyed sports. Didn't really know too much about the gym other than my time playing, you know, rugby union. But like I said, it was just a good alternative at that time. And when I got into the industry, I found that I actually gravitated more towards the sales and business front than I did the actual physical training side of things. But really, really liked the positivity that came with gymnasiums and fitness in general, more so than, you know, other professionals like insurance or selling cars or something like that. So when I was young, I was able to travel the world on cruise ships, working in gyms there, and that was fun. And then I'd let some adults convince me that the fitness industry was just a bit of a hobby business and that I should get a real job. So I was about to start law school when some mentors of mine tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, we've just bought the rights to a 24-hour gym chain called Snap Fitness, which is in somewhat hyper growth mode over in the US. We're going to start it in New Zealand and Australia. Would you like to open the first one? And I said, how? I don't really want to be a lawyer, so let's go. So yeah, I opened the first one, and really I'm a product of, you know, good timing, hard work, and right place, right time sort of thing. We were the first gym chain in the region that was 24/7. It was, you know, three times the price of all the other gym chains at the time. This is prior to, you know, Planet Fitness and all of those models. So the thing took off like a rocket, and I scaled with it personally and professionally, you know, owning my own franchises with some friends of mine, and scaling the corporate business from, you know, one club all the way through to 250 or so across Australia and New Zealand. So I was fortunate enough to become the CEO of the business at 25, and we, you know, expanded that through other brands, and then ultimately sold it back to Lift Brands, a Minnesota-based portfolio company, in 2018. And then as part of that, I joined their corporate structure as a chief operating officer for Asia Pacific. And then during COVID, as we know, the fitness industry was decimated. One in five gyms didn't reopen. But, you know, for every crisis, there are some people that luck out with it. And for myself, the opportunity came up within the company to move to the US and take on the role of the chief product officer for Lift Brands. So I oversaw the supply chain, the equipment, the build out of the gyms, built the Snap Fitness member app, and ultimately was a part of the entire brand repositioning for Snap Fitness, which we went through post-COVID, and really became a bit of a person within the business who could go into parts of the company or countries and, you know, things that may not be as scaling the way that they should, can help turn those around and innovate for the future. And Fitness On Demand, the opportunity to be the CEO came up in August last year in 2023. The company's a great business and it's always done well. It's got over 3,000 customers around the world. So, you know, it's very popular, but really came at a time of, okay, we've got our core product, but what's the future look like? And that's where I'm able to maybe add some value. So yeah, that's a bit of a long-winded answer to a very long story.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique journey that you went on, and it sounds like the fitness industry has really opened up a lot of doors for you. What would you say, if you had to pick one, is kind of your favorite part of being a part of this industry?
I used the word positive before. I think that You know, life is short, and you often end up in industries or sectors or businesses that maybe isn't positive. It may just be a function of life. So to be in something that is ultimately just trying to make people feel better, and it sounds cliche, and every fitness professional will say helping people and stuff, and that is good. I do, you know, I really like that, but I just like the business model, and I like, you know, the gym business model and all the softwares that come with it are interesting. And ultimately, we're just trying to solve the question of how do you get someone to live a healthier and happier life? And that's an interesting thing to solve, I think, more so than building roads or anything, which all serves great purposes in life. But for me personally, I just think, yeah, that positivity of the fitness industry, you know, and they throw some pretty good conventions as well, which are always a lot of fun. So
yeah, of course. I definitely agree wholeheartedly. The fitness industry, it feels nice that we're all working together in our own sectors to help empower, educate, and help the world be a little bit healthier in some capacity. So yeah, totally agree with you there. So you said you've been with Fitness On Demand for about 6 months now. What ways has the business kind of evolved since its inception? What have the business learned along the way? And then kind of what has the evolution been since you've taken CEO position?
Sure. Yeah. Good question. So it originated at the same time as that 24-hour gym boom that happened, you know, 12 to 14 years ago. So the Anytime Snaps of the world, Jets, all those types of gyms that really scaled that small footprint 24-hour model, which ultimately became successful businesses through many reasons, but one of them being low staff. And naturally, when you have a low staffing model, you start to look at other fitness services that you need to add to your product offering. But how do you keep that low staffing model going? And group fitness was one of them. So Fitness On Demand was built as a solution to being able to host and hold group classes in gyms without necessarily needing group instructors all the time. And that's why it was extremely scalable and worked well in its early days for that reason alone. Since then, it's become a really good complementary product alongside live classes, because we started to see a shift in the industry when boutiques took off, that people loved that experience. You couldn't get the same experience through a virtual class that you could through a live instructor with lots of people and the energy that came along with that. But so what the product then started to do was be a really great complementary to live classes as well, because not everyone can make a live class at a certain time. But you've got equipment in the gym for classes like spin bikes, pumps, steps, weights that people don't have at home. So you're able to offer classes outside of your group timetable. On top of that, you know, we aren't just in commercial gyms. In fact, the bulk of our business is in multifamily housing apartments, so smaller gyms within apartment complexes. And they find it a really good solution because they're not in the fitness business. They don't want to be in the fitness business, but they want to offer fitness services that people will use. Where we've started to evolve the product, particularly in that post-COVID world, is, you know, finding that sweet spot between where does digital fitness live alongside gyms themselves. And what we've found, you know, very similar to what companies like Les Mills have found, where it's really that 60-40 split that consumers are saying, yeah, I want to go to the gym 60% of the time and I want to do something at home or outside or somewhere else 40% of the time. So where Fitness On Demand is able to come in is we're able to offer that 40% through our mobile app and through our, you know, vast array of content, or whether it's providing the content to businesses that already have the means of distributing it, or being the ones who distribute it for fitness professionals, such as, you know, Les Mills, for example, a great content provider, best in class. You know, we're able to act as a delivery platform for their content to their customers as well. So we sort of act as both. And to answer your final question about, you know, changes since I've started, I'm a bit of a pirate sometimes. Like, I can come in and you know, be like, no, we're sailing a completely different way. And what I found with this business is it actually had a lot of pieces to a puzzle, but wasn't utilizing them as well as what they could have. And one of those pieces is finding really how can we be extremely sticky in a fitness industry that is more cutthroat than ever, there's more competition than ever, both as vendors and as gyms. And what I realized was that we had the power to be able to essentially consolidate every single TV screen within a gym under one platform. So what that means is we're used to providing gym classes via a screen in a group fitness studio, but how do we get content onto all the screens? Because I don't know about you, but I go to the gym and all I see on the TV screen, there'll be TV shows, there'll be like Law and Order playing on one, and then there'll be the news on the other, and then there'll be some sports show where there's no audio and you can't actually hear what they're saying. There's no sports clips. It's just four people arguing. It's meaningless. So no wonder everyone's got headphones on and they're not looking at the screens. What we've done is we've started to paint a future where we want to consolidate all TV screen offerings under one platform for a more affordable rate and save people money on cable TV, on if they're using a different fitness content provider, their mobile app provider. We're getting into heart rate display as well. And we've gone out and sourced short form engagement channels through sports news, entertainment news, wellness, trivia, all non-audio based. So really moving the product outside of the group fitness studio under one consolidated platform, which I don't think there's another business in the industry that is doing that as its vision. So we have, you know, plans to take that even further. Like I said, heart rate display, body scanner, all sorts of things that gyms use today and pay for, we can consolidate it under one place and at a much affordable rate. And I think that's a good strategy. So,
yeah, totally sounds like it. Definitely a unique concept. My question is, fitness on demand is kind of known in that Group X space, and I know you've already kind of started a rebrand, but what's kind of your goal to help the industry associate you with those offerings as well?
Yeah, it will take time. And it comes through everything from, okay, well, the name Fitness On Demand really tells you what it is. It's fitness, you know, on demand. Everyone knows what on-demand videos are. So how do you project that message out there that you can be digital signage, you can be TV channels, things like that? First and foremost, I'll say we aren't moving away from our core group fitness product. That is our bread and butter, and that is what people come to us for. And we will just continue to offer them ways of saving money through our other content channels in other parts of the gym outside of the group fitness studio. So the answer to your question is it will take time. We've launched a new brand feel and look. We've launched a new strategy, which is really based around three core pillars. So our products need to amplify our customers' brand. So we need to act as a bit of a marketing force for them as well, which is why our digital signage, our white label customizations, push notifications, everything that we offer is to amplify our customers' brand, empower engagement both in and outside of the group studio through our, you know, our wellness trivia channel. Digital signage is key with that, and soon to be our heart rate display, and ensuring that we're adding tangible value to our customers. So some of our customers use our content or some of our features as upsells, adding them to premium subscriptions. Some of our customers also, you know, like I said, take out all our product suite, consolidate and save money so that we can show an actual tangible benefit on the bottom line. So the fitness industry is not very good at upselling anything outside of a gym membership, I've found. So I didn't want to position a business in something in a way that gyms needed to upsell. I thought, how do we take something that people already have, consolidate it, and allow them to save money? Because in a world of high inflation, business costs are going up. You know, saving money is going to be important going forward.
Andy, you said that group fitness is still going to be fitness on demand's bread and butter. What's kind of your overall thoughts on the state of group fitness in the industry now?
Yeah, great question. It's definitely changed a lot with boutiques. You know, they've sort of had a massive rise, and now they're like, I don't know. But, you know, they're having maybe a tougher time than what traditional fitness is. But what they've shown is like great experiences can't be replaced. But it is hard to get great instructors. You're only as good as your instructor and the personality that they're bringing. We also seen with like Peloton that, you know, the digital group fitness side can work really well when you have, you know, killer content, awesome music, and then having the ability to do that either with a group online or on your own stage at your own time, which isn't really group fitness, but it is kind of that directive class. So I think that group fitness is a powerful product offering in any gym. I support any gym having a group fitness timetable. I think it's a huge lead generator. I do think, and this is where I'll do the fitness on demand sort of plug here, and this is what we do extremely well, is having a group fitness timetable that has more volume in it gives perceived value to a potential consumer. And what I mean by that is I see gyms out there that have timetables with you know, one class a day, particularly in the middle part of America, one class a day or two classes a week or something, that actually gives a worse perception, in my opinion, than not having a group fitness timetable, because it's kind of like, you know, going to a restaurant and they only offer one thing, unless it's like In-N-Out Burger that have made a complete business on offering three things. People want volume and variety. So if I had a group fitness studio, I would have some really good live classes that are strong choreography and relevant genres, but then I'd also supplement that with a really strong on-demand schedule. So I would actually schedule on-demand classes, you know, three a day, four a day. People are going to see a volume-rich timetable and they're going to inquire in your gym. And that's going to be a good lead for you to then trust your sales skills and convert. And the class then, whether someone's there or not, has offered, you know, perceived value. And I think that that's worth something. People often will come in to do a spin class at 8 p.m. because they missed the 5:30 p.m. one because of school, kids, traffic or whatever, but they don't have a spin cycle at home. It's at the gym and they pay the membership to use that cycle. So they'll stick a spin class on demand. So the two live cohesively together, in my opinion, really, really strongly. And in my opinion, an extremely affordable product, probably the best in the industry in terms of value for money. So for the price you pay to not have a rich timetable is just ludicrous to me. So yeah.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Definitely having that barrier removed, right? If you are only offering two classes, that's a barrier for people because they want to work out, they want to improve their lives, but that time doesn't work for them. So having that jam-packed schedule opens up an opportunity to more consumers. And I know every operator today is really striving to get that 80% of the population who doesn't have a membership, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you can start to offer, like, in your marketing, you can start to offer classes that you'd never be able to offer because you have to go out and find specialists. So for example, we have family classes where they're games for kids with parents to do that are fitness based, and active aging classes that are suited towards people over 65. You know, being able to put that in your marketing expands your market opportunity because people will go, oh, maybe they do have something for me, when previously they didn't think that. So like I said, for the price you pay for the type of solution that we have versus what you get out of it and that type of marketability, it's just so people don't get it, I don't think. But anyway, that's my job to make them educated on that. So
I have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, to me, it definitely sounds like you're just adding more value and extending your kind of level of a partner to the industry.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, we just want to add value. It's as simple as that. We want to grow our business. We want to grow our customers' business. But, you know, in some cases, like the apartment complex gyms that we're in, you know, we're not there to grow their business. That we're just a supplement, you know, as a benefit to being a resident. Our job's there just to make that lease that those people pay for a little bit more value than it was prior, because the gym and the offerings both in the apartment and in the gym are good. So yeah, it's interesting across the different verticals that we work in, with commercial fitness versus apartments. We also do hotels quite profusely now. So hotels are they're using our content for in-room fitness as well as in the gym, and as well as using our like digital signage solution around the hotels. So yeah, it's very interesting across different verticals to see how we can add value.
Andy, when virtual fitness kind of came into the industry, a lot of operators saw it as like either or, like you were doing virtual fitness or you were in the gym. And as COVID's kind of passed, I think everyone's kind of realized you can have both. Are there any other challenges you're still seeing in the industry like that fitness on demand is helping solve or kind of addressing?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was interesting during COVID to hear the naysayers who said, you know, gyms are dead because digital's taking off and everyone's working out at home and Peloton's going through the roof and all these things. And it didn't take long before people were like, you know what, I actually do value getting in my car, driving somewhere to lift some weights or do some cardio that's not at my home. But then what those people found is, but also doing things at home is pretty good too, but it's not one or the other. It's a hybrid of them both. So, you know, I don't think the fitness industry's quite found its feet yet as to where that balance lives perfectly. I do believe in the fact of all fitness is valid fitness, right? And what gyms are trying to do now is it's not about just what happens in the gym. It's what their members are doing outside of the gym under their brand. So the fact that we can customize our offerings to our customers' brands and make them look like they've invested in content and all those sorts of things is quite good. I'm starting to see a shift in the industry around, you know, everyone's taught the recovery space is proliferant at the moment. Every man and his dog on Instagram seems to be in an ice bath at their home, getting pretty overseeing that, to be honest. But I think that all of that's really important. And what that's showing is it's not just about looking good, it's about feeling good and recovering well. So my point of this is, because we don't sell ice baths or anything like that, but it's the education around that. What we can do is, you know, through our content, is ensure that our content's not just about burning calories and getting the heart rate up anymore. It's about education. And I'm starting to see demand for that, particularly in corporate wellness, where providers are wanting to give their end users education around why they should recover, why they should stretch. Okay, well, here's some particular stretching, all the way through to how do I get a good strong back and a strong core to suit my job, or why should I be doing, you know, dead hangs from a bar to align my back. People are very curious these days now around health and wellness, and it's heading into kind of that medical fitness realm. We're starting to see medical fitness sort of studios open up with doctors, and I think that's cool because those two, you know, worlds combining is a good thing. But there's just so much information out there. So, you know, for us, you know, how do we take all the content we have and how do we give it to the consumer in a manner that's relevant to them, in what you consider ultra personalization is going to be really key for the future. And, you know, the AI buzzwords out there for every industry, for us, it's really personalization for that particular user. And that's what we're starting to see with a lot of technologies out there. So I'd say the challenges that we face in the industry around, you know, ultra personalization, but it really hasn't changed either. How do you get someone sticky in the gym or working out, you know, in a habit beyond their first 2 months, really? I still think the industry does a poor job onboarding members, poor job and ensuring that they're getting the right amount of training sessions with the trainer without having to pay huge amount for it. We're not very good at giving before we ask. We're very like give, get. So if it, in terms of that, that's not so much about fitness on demand. That's more about just the industry in general, because more and more larger gyms are opening now. There's more money backing these larger gyms. They're offering amazing products for rock bottom prices. I'm starting to see, you know, Lifetime Fitness product for Planet Fitness pricing opening up around the US. And hopefully it gets more and more penetration into the public on how many people are, you know, actually join the gym, but then getting them using the gym is a little bit different as well. So that's a bit of a rant on I could probably talk for hours on the challenges, but they're all good challenges too. Because at the end of the day, it's like, it's just about creating a habit, and all the AI in the world that will help, you know, manufacturers and processors and accounting and all that sort of stuff. It's different for the fitness industry because someone still needs to move in order to reap the rewards. The AI can only provide the personalization and maybe to an extent the motivation, but someone still has to put the work in. And that's what makes us unique. How do you get them to do that?
Yeah. You call it a rant, but I just kind of see it differently as like an educated perspective of the entire industry. And I know just talking with a lot of operators, when they do choose to bring a partner into their facilities, they want them to know the industry, right? They want them to know all aspects. So I personally think it's really cool that you are looking at all scopes of the entire industry and seeing how it's evolving and how you can play your part, even if you don't offer recovery products, but you're educated on them, right? So I think it's a really cool perspective.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I guess I'm probably not the type that would just do something like this and just push my own products and stuff, right? I think that, like I said, it's that give, get. And, you know, we do have some really smart people in the business on gyms in general. And, you know, I'd like to think we can offer advice to customers beyond fitness on demand. That's, you know, that's true partnership in my eyes.
All right, Andy. Well, if you could offer just one last piece of advice to all the operators listening, what would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. One piece of advice. Don't try and do everything. Pick a few lanes. Don't be afraid to try things. Take a serious look at how you're onboarding members. And in my opinion, they should be getting, you know, a training session with a trainer every week for their first 4 weeks. Partner with vendors who are offering you tangible benefits, because everyone can sell. Everyone's got a solution that will change the world and you know, in their eyes and in their marketing. But what tangible benefits are you trying to offer your customers, and make that membership that you're selling as valuable as possible, that's different from your gyms down the road, but making sure that you have the table stakes as well. Like, table stakes for me is a great gym with good modern equipment. There's got to be plenty of strength training in there nowadays. Women's strength training is the biggest shift in the fitness industry that no one really talks about as much. You have to have the equipment to back the amount of people that are doing strength training these days. You have to then have the useful utilities to back the offerings up, whether it be the app where they're getting the programming or they're getting the journaling, they're able to, you know, into their strength, and they're able to do their workouts at home. They're able to follow a stretch routine on the phone. Because at the end of the day, people getting into the industry, they know the basics. They know 3 sets of 15 on, you know, 5 different pieces, and then 20 minutes on a cardio machine. That's what they know. And they don't know what they need to be doing though. So how do you personalize it at scale? That's where technology can come in and play. But just focus on a few things. Have a really great product offering. Always think about what you can do that's a little bit unique for you. Invest in marketing and always follow up on leads. That would be my biggest advice.
Andy, that is a lot of great advice there. And honestly, an entire great conversation. And now we can officially say we've had a self-proclaimed pirate on our podcast. So I mean, that's a good one as well.
Well, yeah, there'd be a few people out there that would probably call me that as well. So, yeah.
All right. I think you should definitely add that to your title.
I will. Thank you. Chief Pirate.
Yeah.